This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copies of the sermon will follow the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us this day and invite you to tune in to this station every Sunday for Worship with Us.
What does it mean to be great in God's eyes? That's our question that we're going to consider this morning in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we pray that we may understand that your word has spoken regarding this matter of greatness. For you want us to be great, great in your eyes. So teach us, Lord Jesus, who that great person really is. Show us how we differ from the things of this world, that there are no CEOs in your kingdom, but all are loyal servants, faithful to the mission which you have given to us. To that extent, bless our program and bless your church. In Christ's name, amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often
Friends in Christ. St. John, as many of you know, was one of Jesus' apostles. Sometimes he is referred to as the one that Jesus really loved, as if he loved him more than others. He died in about the year 100 in the city of Ephesus. As John grew older, he loved to reminisce and to point out the richness of his life because of Jesus Christ. Years ago in his gospel, he wrote, quoting Jesus, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly." He could recall when Jesus uttered those words and he made note of it and recorded them. Now he is anxious to expound on that rich life and what really makes it rich. One thing that John liked to do, and here we're putting together the biblical records and also what we learn from tradition, was to get some of his young scholars, men who would become great fathers of the church, and just tell them about some of his experiences with the Lord. Let's say that on this day, two of these great men of the future, Polycarp and Ignatius, came to visit John. And John held in his hands a gospel written by St. Mark, supposedly the first of the four gospels. He said, "You know, fellows, I have been paging through what Mark had to say, and I am so grateful that he has told us that there is a list of people who are these disciples. And right in the midst of that list, here my name stands together with my brother, James. We had a great time with Jesus. We had had a very fine experience as fishermen on the Sea of Galilee with our Father. We had gone over and heard John the Baptist when he preached in the wilderness and pointed others to Jesus Christ. And then when we saw Jesus, we thought, wouldn't it be something to be one of his followers? So we were halfway ready when on that day he came by the boat and said, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' That was a great experience. And now listed among the many others are our names, James and John." Jesus also gave us a few special privileges which meant a great deal to us. For example, at least on three occasions, he said, "Peter, James, and John, come with me." One day it was when he was going to Jairus' house. Jairus was the head of the synagogue, and his little girl had died. He came to Jesus and said, "If you'll only come home and touch her, I know you can restore her to health." And so in that particular case, Jesus did just that. Then he said, "Come, Peter, James, and John, I want you to come in and witness what I'm going to do." So he went in and stood by the little girl's bed. She was dead. And I took her by the hand and I said, "Stand up." And she was restored to health. You may wonder what he did that for. That is, take Peter, James, and John and leave all others out. I don't know why he left all others out, John would have said, but I know why he asked us to come. He wanted us to know that he had power, power over death. And that includes all people, that one day we too shall come forth from the grave. Another time when he gave us that special privilege was when he brought us to a high mountain. And there he was transfigured before our very eyes. There with him were Elijah and Moses, and they were talking to one another. And Jesus was dressed in dazzling white. We wondered, what could this be? It was good to be there, and Peter even offered to build some altars that we could stay a long time. But the stay was not long. But I'll never forget those words that were uttered. "This is my beloved Son. You listen to him." So the three of us had those experiences, convincing us that he had power, power even over death, convincing us that he was the Son of God and the promised Messiah of the world. But then there was that third time. The third time when we stood there in Gethsemane. Jesus was suffering. He had instituted the Lord's Supper. He knew that the cross was nearby. Judas would soon betray him. And then finally, he said, "Peter, James, and John, would you come with me into the inner garden?" Into the inner garden we went. And he went on further, got down on his knees and cried out, "O Lord, if it's possible, remove this cup of suffering from me. Nevertheless, not my will but yours be done." And twice again he prayed that same. When he came back each time, he saw that we were sleeping. But we saw him in his agony. We saw him in his humanness. We saw him with the sins of the world placed upon him. And then it was out to Pilate's court, where he was treated unjustly, and then to the cross. And as he was hanging there suffering on the cross, he looked down and he looked at me and then at his mother and said, "Dear mother, here is your son. Son, your mother." And from that day, I took Mary into my house, and there she stayed until she died. Isn't it interesting? But then there was that hideous text. And sometimes I wish that Mark had not put it into the gospel, but really it was the right thing to do, and the Holy Spirit prompted him to do it. Let me read you, it's our text for today. "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink to be baptized with the baptism I have been baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." I don't like that part. I don't like to see my own human nature. I don't like to see that we could be so selfish and so unconcerned about others, only that we could have the final place. No, but it's right. That's the kind of a person we were. Even though we were our Lord's disciples, even though we had the distinguished place of being with the three, we were sinners saved by grace and changed by Jesus Christ. When you take a look at all of this, we ask, and it was a tough text to preach on in a way, what is it saying to us here? And I would like to draw from this text three lessons. Number one, we will not know what the gospel is all about until the Holy Spirit has opened our eyes to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you an illustration. Some years ago in our morning Thursday Bible class, a group of men had assembled and they were talking about this very thing. What does it mean to know Christ? What does it mean to meet Christ? And a man sitting there said, "Well, I was raised in the church. I knew my Bible history. And when I got older, they invited me to come and be a Sunday school teacher in that church, and I did that. But my wife realized that there was something missing in my relationship with the Lord Jesus, and so one day she said, 'There is going to be a retreat. Would you go with me?' And I consented. And there I met him. When he came to this Bible study that day, he was telling a story to some of the people who were wrestling with the same question. First, there at that retreat, I met him. And a banker who was sitting there in the crowd said to him, 'Tell me, what is it? What do you mean when you say you first met him?' The scales came off my eyes, and I beheld that Jesus was not just a character on the pages of the Bible, but that he was a person who wanted to live in my heart All things were new. I had the assurance of my salvation. I had the promise that he was going to go with me. I had a new sense of values. I became a new person in him. But it was not until he had opened my eyes that I could really understand what he was talking about. And that was the situation with James and John. It was not until Pentecost Sunday, when the scales came off their eyes, that they understood the resurrection, the crucifixion, and all the rest that went along with it. He did not understand it until it happened. And we don't understand it until it happens in our lives either. So we pray today for conversions and for spiritual awakenings, and that people who know the Bible pretty well might come to see the reality of those great truths that they have known throughout their lives. If that be the first thing, that we can't know what the gospel is all about until the Holy Spirit has opened our eyes, here's the second one. You cannot have Christ without a cross. Let me say that again. You cannot have Christ without a cross. Or to put it in language that perhaps some of us understand better here, you can't be a Christian and not expect some suffering. Suffering not in the way of James and John, suffering in other ways. We have to remember this, that the kingdom of God turns the world's idea of power and glory upside down and inside out. Let me say that again. The kingdom of God, that is to be great in the kingdom of God, turns the world's idea of power and glory upside down and inside out. There is no CEO in the kingdom of God. And the agenda is not how to be offensive to our culture, but rather how to be faithful in the midst of our culture to what the Lord Jesus Christ wants this world to know. Those are very important things. You cannot have Christ without a cross. We like to have an easy Christianity with a beautiful church and all kinds of nice things that there are nothing wrong with. But that's not where greatness is. The greatness is not when the preacher or the bishop or whatever may come in with his robes and the crosses and all the rest. The greatness, nothing wrong with that. I'm not criticizing that. I'm simply saying the greatness in the kingdom of God is to be a servant. And to be a servant that will reach down and minister to the lowest person. And the agenda is not to try to show how the church can be great through all of its pomperness and all the rest in our society. But the greatness is to show that it's a suffering servant that our Lord is recommending. The agenda is going to be offensive to our culture because our culture does not like what the kingdom of God is saying. Therein is found the moment of suffering. Be loyal, be faithful to the word of God, and you'll feel the heaviness of the heart when people begin to reject you. A third one is a daily walk with Jesus Christ gives you a personality change. John said that he would, I am assuming, in his talk with his students, it would have been better for my sake if Mark had not put into his script the selfishness of my brother and myself in asking to be the greatest, with one having a position on the right and the other having a position on the left. But the right thing that he did it, because that had to be taken out of our hearts. in order to be great people of God. And it didn't come easily, because I wanted to be the greatest. And I could be the greatest, but not in the way that I thought I was. I could only be great when I was in the service of the Lord Jesus. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And when I have that feeling of warmth and anxiety to get out to people with the gospel, that's when the Lord Jesus can really use us. You remember that Jesus said to John the Baptist, "John, take my mother home and care for her." And according to tradition, that's exactly what he did. Jesus saw in John a man whose whole life had been changed. That selfish individual, he now was willing to entrust to that woman who bore him on this earth. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. And this is what he can do for you and me, friend. For we have those selfish moments, don't we? We want to be considered great. We want to do great things. We want to be known for all that we have accomplished. But what is important is that that great want is minimized. And we want to be the one who reaches out to all people with the gospel of the Savior. And so when I read this text, when Jesus said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them," not so with you. Instead, who wants to become great among you must be your servant, and who wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. When you read this text, what does our Lord think? What does he think of his church today? What are we reaching out to be? What do we really want the society of which we are a part to consider us to be? Are we that faithful servant who is able to say, regardless of what mankind is saying, "Thus saith the Lord"? Can we drink the cup that he drank and be baptized with the baptism in which he was baptized? That's what he can promise us. He can promise us a cross. But then later on one day, by grace through faith in him, the cross turns to a crown, and we shall know him as the Son of God and the Savior in the flesh. Amen.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain.
Father in heaven, we thank you for that marvelous picture of what you can do in the lives of people, that you can give us a new personality every day, one of love and kindness and faithfulness to your word, that you can give to us, O God, the willingness to bear the cross and to realize that going to the top of the ladder is to go to the bottom of the earth, to reach out to somebody who never has heard you before, or to those who know you and know you well intellectually, but where there is something missing and they want you in their hearts. Grant that we might be instrumental in bringing that word, that we may see conversions and awakenings to make our life abundant too. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're the one who is always patient with us, and you have promised that the kingdom of God is ours simply through faith in Jesus Christ. We know that gospel when the Holy Spirit has done his work in our lives. Bless those who are sick. Draw close to them, and may your word be their comfort and strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's gospel message will provide you with a solid spiritual foundation for the week ahead. On September 6, Christian Crusaders celebrated 73 years as a radio ministry. In a recent letter to listeners, Reverend Larson said, and we quote, "What a mission we've had, and it continues. The economy has been difficult for many, and Christian Crusaders has not been exempt. However, God is good, and we believe that He will provide if we be faithful in our proclaiming of His word." We thank all our listeners who have helped us continue our faithful mission with their gifts and prayers. Please direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Please visit our website to learn more about the ministry. At christiancrusaders.org, you will find hundreds of archived sermons to read or listen online, as well as a daily devotion, Bible study tools, and more. You can also use our website to read a weekly preview of the upcoming program. To request a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 73rd year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.